Welcome back to Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. The theme for the month of November is the second annual 21 Maxims to Maximize Your Life. These are thoughts and contemplations to help you begin finding your own North Arrow as you navigate what could only be described as a chaotic 2020. If you want to go deeper than just the audio experience, you can also head to rickalexander.com and find the show notes as well as journaling prompts. Also, that will be linked up in the show notes of this episode. I also did a short show on how to journal if you're new to it and want to check that out as well. It'll be included on the 21 Maxims page of the website. And of course, if you do get anything at all out of these, it would mean the world to me if you would head to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and just share the show with anyone you think could benefit from the message. All right, without further ado, on to the show. Leo Tolstoy, author, said, "Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself." Welcome back to Morning Coffee. Maxim number 3, the world won't change unless you do. So this week we've talked a lot about values. And when I talk about value sets, I know it's easy for you to tune that out. And maybe it begins to feel like this disembodied idea. And, you know, it's great to talk about values, but you have a life to live and you have all of these things going on in your world. And so how do you bridge the gap between the world that you're living in and then all this talk that we have about values? So what I want to do today, because I'm creating a talk called Cultivating a Value-Driven Life, and I also taught a module in values in the Clarity Academy and a couple other programs that I've helped out as a coach and a mentor. And I think that it's really important that we understand, because because if you have a really good understanding of values, it's not just your internal roadmap to a meaningful life, which is very important, right? Because we all get stuck on decisions. And so if you want to make the really tough decision in your life, like maybe the toughest decision you've ever had to make, and you don't know which way to go, the 5 most important words that you could know are pivot toward your value set, right? Because no matter what happens with the decision, you'll at least have meaning in the destination that you arrive in, right? And so that's one way to really understand, because it's hard to understand all the nuances of a decision we make. But if you pivot toward meaning, you will at least make sure that you take care of the most, I would say, most important thing in your life, because without meaning, humans spiral into apathy and then we have our own problems. That's what we've been talking about all week. What I want to talk about today, though, is that it's actually the lens that you're looking through. And maybe this will help you really understand why it can be helpful to understand values if you haven't picked it up in the last few days. So stick with me for this one, because I think it's not this disembodied idea. It's actually the lens that we're looking through. And so a good way to understand this is, first, you have to understand that your internal value systems are set up hierarchically, which means you value some things over other things. Now, if you didn't value some things over other things, you wouldn't be able to make decisions, right? So the reason we're set up, or you could say that, yeah, the reason we evolved to have a hierarchical value system is so that we can make decisions, because we're constantly having to make decisions about what to eat, where to live, what to do with our lives, who to date. All these things are dependent on us being able to make a decision. And so we have a hierarchical value system that teaches us or tells us how to make decisions. Now, I lost some good friends while I was in the military. The only reason that somebody could sacrifice their life, actually pay the ultimate sacrifice, as they say, in the military, is because they value something over self, right? Over their lives. So maybe nationality, or maybe honor, or maybe duty, or maybe patriotism. But in some way, something has to be hierarchically higher than life. Otherwise, you couldn't get there in any other way except for accident. And certainly plenty of people die by accident. But if you sign up for the military, a place where you're going to fight for your life, what you're saying is, yes, there's something more important than my life. And so I'm willing to give my life in service to that value. Now, if you hear about that and you're appalled by it, your value system is not set up the same way. If you hear about that and you feel really humbled by that, and maybe you find a lot of honor in the fact that people sacrifice themselves for your country or a country, which lots and lots and lots of people do, It's because your value system is at least set up similar. And so understand that that's how values really are the lens that we're looking through. Another way you might think about this is, let's say you and I both live in Colorado and I value adventure and I value the outdoors. Let's say that you don't, you value something like family, and let's say your family's back on a different coast, the East Coast, or maybe it's in California, somewhere further away. And let's also say that you don't really value the outdoors because you're more of a homebody and you just like to, read and watch movies, stuff like that. So we can both live in the exact same state, but we're living in completely different worlds because of the things that we value. We have this divisive culture right now, and we're having a lot of trouble understanding where the other half is coming from. And it's funny that I put this podcast out on the night of the election. So when it comes out, I don't know if we'll have the election results or not, but there's a lot of talk of violence going down because of the election. I don't think it will be civil war, but I certainly do think that it will be brutal. And it's like, why are we having such a difficult time understanding? It's like, well, because as a society, we are getting to the point where we have no space within our psyche for other people's value systems or to see the world as they see it. See, it's not just enough to hear somebody out and hear their point of view. You've got to stand where they're standing. And what that means is that your internal structure, or at least you make the decision to try to see the world through their set of values. Otherwise, you will always miss. Right? You will always be living in a different world. There was an Iranian leader that was killed a few years back. And in the US, there were people celebrating because he was opposed to US interests or democracy or something along those lines. Who knows? No one ever knows the real deal about what's going on around the world. But let's just say for the purpose of this podcast, that's what happened. Well, in Iran, they showed the news and people were mourning in the street. And so what does that tell you? What that tells you is that events happening in the world are actually neutral. It is humans who attach meaning to things because it's the exact same event. Half of the people are mourning it and half of the people are celebrating it. The election's going down in the United States right now. Half of the people are going to be angry, frustrated, mourning, pissed, and the other half are going to be celebrating. What does that tell you? What it tells you is that the thing happening itself is always neutral. It is our value system which assigns meaning to something. We're not all interpreting the same set of facts differently. We are interpreting a different set of facts completely based on our value system. Now, it's not only values that change the world that we're seeing in, right? Because we have other drives as well. One of our drives, for example, is biological. So think about it this way. If you get really hungry, for example, you're going to start to see the world differently. Right? You're going to start cutting out in your consciousness and your selective attention. You're going to start cutting out different parts of the world and your selective attention is going to start looking for places to eat. Now you could be driving down the same place, but if you're hungry, you're going to start seeing things differently. You're going to start living in a little bit of a different world. Now let's push that to an extreme, right? Let's say that you get on the brink of starvation. So, you know, the longest I've ever gone without eating is like 7 days in SEER school in the military, but it was a very arduous. We were like, you know, climbing over mountains and hiking and running for our lives and stuff. So I lost 14 pounds in that time. And so that's probably the most hungry I've ever been. Now, a villager comes up to us in this school, and I remember this happening, and there could be a million different things going on in my internal structure. If I just ate a Snickers bar, then I would talk to this villager and I would probably be looking for intel about how I could get out of there. But what did I care about? Can this guy provide me with some sort of sustenance? And, you know, you see this all the time because everybody every day gets hangry, right? That's why we have Snickers commercials about people getting hangry. We don't really think about why that is. Listen, the world that you're looking at evolves depending on the state of your values, on the state of your biological systems. And so there are all these other factors that are looking at a neutral world and they're assigning meaning and they're assigning tasks. And not only is it assigning meaning and assigning tasks, but it's also interpreting the information and leaving some information out completely and then bringing some information in. And so it's important that we understand the world that we live in can be very different depending on the things that we value and the people that we are, right? And also the state of our current condition. Now let's talk a little bit about perspective. I've talked about this earlier, I want to say like mid-pandemic, I started talking about this a little bit because people started talking about this idea of toxic positivity out in the world. Like, essentially what that means is just rose-colored glasses. It's like, just look at it and just tell yourself it's better. Actually, that's called bypassing, right? And that actually doesn't help, because any kind of adverse emotion that you feel, let's say you're going through something really difficult. Let's say you're feeling something, you're feeling some sort of adverse emotion about the election that you're watching right now or the state of the world right now. You don't just tell yourself it's not what it is, because you have a value system. You have a biology. You're someone from a very specific place. You've been raised a very specific way. And so to ignore all of that is to live in delusion. It is to not live in reality. And so we don't spin a set of facts. You know, there's also a term called spiritual bypassing. And what that is let's say you have all these traumas in your life, and you have all these things that you haven't worked through, and you have all these things about your personality that make you really hard to get along with. And then let's say you find some spiritual practice, and then all of a sudden, every single part of you is like, oh, God will take care of this. Let me just give all of this to God and outsource my responsibility. That's the term, where the term spiritual bypassing comes, because we take some sort of thing and we use it to get around our actual problems. I would say spiritual bypassing, toxic positivity, rose-colored glasses. Those are not productive ways to change the world that you're living in, because none of them are true. You know, when you're going through something hard, you actually have to go through it. Think about any time anything adverse has happened to you. Can you drink your way through it? Of course. But do you eventually have to go back and go through all of those emotions? You know, we talked about friends dying in the military. I remember the first time I lost a friend in the military, I did nothing but get drunk for 8 months, because I couldn't imagine a world where I was sober. And I thought that maybe somehow I would get through it. And then like 6 to 8 months later, when I started realizing like, okay, I am ruining my life right now. This is not what I want for myself. I've got to figure out a new way. I had to go back to the beginning. One of the journaling prompts that might help you for this, and I'll throw it at rickalexander.com under the 21 Maxims page. For anybody that can't talk about something without tearing up, can't get through something, the thing that you want to do is you want to go back and you want to get all the way through that experience. Now, you might need somebody to do that with, like a licensed therapist or something like that, because I'm not talking, I don't want to be the substitute for good therapy. But what you want to do is get all the way through that experience. And so one of the things that might help is if you write down that experience completely, right? Every single detail that you can remember, and it will hurt and it will tear you up and you will cry. And if you need to, like I said, please like work through this with somebody. Don't do this on your own if we're talking about like really traumatic events, because it can cave a person. Really, it can. We cope for a reason. But at some point, if you want to move on, you actually have to go through. There's no other way around. And so what is the point of changing perspectives? It is so that you can find a place so that you can do the work. In my book, I talk about this idea, why do things happen for you and not to you? Now, if you just say, oh, that's happening for me, and you don't believe it, you don't find a reason, that's bypassing. That's rose-colored glasses. You are essentially doing nothing except for just kicking the can down the road, essentially, right? Just trying not to feel what you feel. The reason you ask yourself, why is something happening for me and not to me, is because you need to find some place that you can actually start doing work to get through it. And so when we find the why is it happening for us and not to us, when we change perspectives, what we're looking for is the perspective that puts the power back in our hands. Because a lot of people in the world today are living as if they are victims to everything that happens to them. Like I said, the same set of facts might be neutral. So things are going to happen to you either way. What you want to do, though, is look for a way that things can happen to you, and every single time they do, it doesn't sink your ship. Every single time they do, it doesn't take the wind out of your sails. And so the way that you do that is you actually try to create empowered ways to move through the world. And there becomes a point where you realize in all of this, the world's just not going to change unless you do, because the world is what it is. The world is the same set of facts that are being presented to you. It's not the world that causes us so much trouble. It is the way that we're living in the world. It is the way that we're looking at it. It is the thoughts that we are choosing to believe about ourselves and about the world. Now, I'm a huge fan of individual responsibility. And that gets thrown around a lot right now. What does that mean? It means being responsible for the energy that you put into the world. It means being responsible for interpreting the set of facts that are being presented to you. It means that even though negative things are going to happen to you, and they are, they're going to happen to me, they're going to happen to you. It's a brutal world that we live in, and there is no getting around it. And I do not like when content creators act as if it's not this brutal place. It's a brutal place. Nobody gets out alive. Every love story is a tragedy if you wait long enough. All of these things are true. The thing that we have, the option we have, is how we interpret the information, how we move through the world. And so that's why we want to do the work. I'll throw up a host of journaling prompts if you're interested in learning to get through this a little bit more. It's kind of like we said on Saturday's podcast, though, right? It's like we can't go out there and change everybody else. You cannot. Right? Even if you have the thought that they should be different, you don't get the option in doing that. What you get to do is to change yourself, right? And then what you get to do is be a light for the world, right? And a light is always helpful. It's not prejudice. It's not judgmental. It just exposes what's darkness without judgment. It's only helpful for the world. And that's what we get to do. And then, you know, I'm a bit of an idealist. And I think that if every single person were able to understand that and do that, we would be living in a completely different world. I don't think that it has to be. It's brutal, but it doesn't have to be malevolent. But those are all individual options that we have to make. And that's why I'm so gung-ho about us understanding the contents of our consciousness and the contents of our internal state. Because if we do, we can make real individual change for the better. It happens to be the least and most we can do. I love you guys. I hope you have an amazing day. We'll talk tomorrow with Maxim number 4.